Welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Harry Potter. I'm Daniel Radcliffe.
I'm Niall Nguyen.
I'm Amy Shenton-Riesel.
I am Sung Lee.
All right, so this week's topic being Scholastic, which pretty much extends over to Harry Potter. We also want to talk about the publishing company that also put out a lot of books that we read growing up.
Oh, yeah.
So let's ask the usual first question we like to ask when Miss Rowling is not whipping us around, right, Dom? What was the first Scholastic book series that you read, or just the book itself?
It's kind of a tie, because I read voraciously when I was a kid. That's just how I spent, like, 6 hours every night just reading. It's a tie between The Chronicles of Narnia,
which my parents...
Is that Scholastic?
I'm pretty sure. No?
No.
Damn.
What's the other one then?
I was looking at your notes.
My notes after the space in the notes, those are the ones that are not Scholastic.
Oh, Kevin, get this part out.
We do this all very naturally without notes. We just do it from our heads and hearts, right? Hearts.
Apparently, Dom has no hearts. Jerk store.
Apparently.
They're sold out.
So it's not, Narnia. It's not. It's actually the Babysitter's Club, because I got a lot of hand-me-down books when I was a kid, too. And that's the main series I remember, is my sister was a huge fan of the Babysitter's Club series. And we would just, and when she was done with them, they'd go up on the shelf, and it's like, I'm bored, I should read this. And I would read Babysitter's Club.
What is Babysitter's Club really like? Is it like Sex in the City, but with babysitters?
What?
And no sex?
It's not like Sex in the City at all.
It is a bunch of girls talking about their babysitting?
Pretty much, yeah.
So like Sex in the City.
Talking to kids.
So like babysitting in the city. Babysitting in the suburbs.
Yes.
There we go.
Sure.
For kids.
Yes.
All right, well, I don't remember exactly which book I read first as well, because I read a lot as a child. But the first series that I distinctly remember is Goosebumps.
Yay! Yes.
I remember that they actually scared me quite a bit, to the point where, like, the covers were scary to me, so I always had to make sure I stored them in the bookshelf after I was done reading them, because I didn't want to leave them lying out where the covers would be looking at me.
Well, someone just stole my entire story about my experience with Goosebumps.
Woo!
Yes, I had the exact same problem.
Yeah.
The covers of Goosebumps.
Yes, some of them are scary.
The one with the dummy was freaky as hell.
Oh my god, I know that one. It's volume 7. It's the 7th book. No, it's the one that has the spine is like a deep magenta wine color.
Yeah, and then there's a scary dummy on the front. I cannot look at that thing. That thing had to go on the bookshelf when I was
And also the scary wine-colored magenta spine.
All right, so as I said in earlier podcasts, I'm not much of a reader. So when I did read, it was generally this, like, teachers telling you to read this, and I never really cared which publisher it came from, you know. So, I mean, I could list off a bunch of books, but I would have no idea if
they're Scholastic or not. I've proven myself that I don't know what Scholastic or not.
Well, you guys didn't have the little order form things that they gave you in school?
Yeah. I had those, it's just I don't remember them at all.
Those order forms that came on, like, tissue paper, and the boxes are so small, you could barely get your chubby fingers to write into them?
No, for me, it was just like, for academic-wise, they would give you a list of books. Basically, like, they'd have specific books that they'd tell you, okay, you have to read this, and then you also have to read, you know, a couple books from this list.
Yep.
Oh, so it's very standardized.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the whole Scholastic thing was just for, like, when you go home kind of reading, like, just for fun reading,
right? Yeah, we got prizes for reading. It's like, if you read 5 books, you would get prizes.
Yeah, it was based on the number of pages you read per book and stuff.
I collected erasers.
I won every year. I just got all these extra books. Like, wow, you've read a lot of books. Have some more books. It's like, all right.
Just feed the addiction.
Pretty much.
All right, Sung. We'll see how this goes. My first, Scholastic book series was Goosebumps. It was the one that came out with a whole bunch of hype around it. And I remember the first volume, if it was like, if you didn't have it when you ordered it, then you were not in that in crowd. So you had to order the second one, in which the teacher becomes a plant monster in the basement or something like that. I didn't like that one so much. The cover also freaked me out.
You know, I'm pretty sure there's an age anime about that.
I'm sure most age anime comes from Goosebumps.
Of course.
Was the second
Especially
book
the dummy
monster
one.
Blood one.
Huh?
Was the second book the Monster Blood one?
It was the plant blood. He put, like,
something like
extract
that.
From plants inside of him, and then he became a plant monster. And then he had to like lock him in the basement of the school or something like that.
The only one I really distinctly remember is the one with the camera that when you took pictures, it like would curse you.
Yes, I remember that
Yeah, that one was freaky.
And also the one with the mirror where you get stuck in it and your evil version gets free.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of H anime.
So what about the one with the gigantic hamster that mutates? Yeah, no porn there.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you always have to make sure the Japanese find ways around these things.
Yeah.
So let's go to the next thing. So, mail order books in school. What did you feel about that? Now that you look back on it, what was the purpose besides like
selling books for cheap?
Selling books. Do the teachers get a cut or?
I think the schools got a cut. I think it was a school program, and then you know
that would make sense.
Yeah.
Hey, it helped me read. I was like, ooh, look, bookmarks.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about because we never really had that. It was just like, here's a list of books, go buy it. or you could rent it from the library, get it from the library.
Wow, all right. What were some of your childhood reading favorites then? This is pretty broad, right? This doesn't have to be scholastic based. This is just childhood reading. I remember a lot of Encyclopedia Brown for me.
I was a huge fan of Encyclopedia Brown. That's actually how I was taught to read, was with Encyclopedia Brown books. Really?
I was also a fan of Berenstain Bears.
Oh, yes.
The Berenstain Bears are still around. That surprises the hell out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a TV show.
I know they have a TV show.
They had a TV show for a while. Yeah.
All right. Well, on my list of the ones that are Scholastic are The Hatchet and its sequel, The River.
I remember those.
Which I read both of those so many times.
Like, Gary Paulson just... He only writes one kind of story, and it's like the survival story, and
it's awesome. There's another Scholastic book called Half Magic. I don't know if any of you guys have read this.
I've not read it.
I'm pretty sure it's about kids. Well, it's about four kids. I'm pretty sure it's set in
Narnia.
No, not Narnia. In Britain, so it's set up like
Narnia
I guess.
Anti-Narnia.
Yes, it's set up that way. The characters are all very similar, but it's much less serious. And
Ayn Rand.
It's about these four kids who, I think they find like a magic coin in an antique store or something like that, but it's only half magic. So when they make wishes, they only half come true. And so they have to double wish for anything they want, but like there's rules around what they wish for. I don't quite remember, but it was an entertaining story. Okay, and the non-scholastic list. My teacher is an alien. Has anyone read
that? I remember that.
I love that series.
And then like the fourth or fifth book is My Teacher Flunked the Planet.
Yes.
A whole bunch of that stuff.
Yes. That was a good series. And of course, there's all the Ronald Dahl books, BFG, Matilda being my favorites. Okay, and then when I was going through and making this list, I realized that I read a lot of books about magic, or kind of like fantasy, supernatural type of things. Like, when it came down to it, I read stuff like Narnia, and like The Phantom Tollbooth, and I don't know, these are some more obscure ones, but like Mrs. Pigglewiggle. Has anyone heard of that?
Yes.
I love Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She was like a nanny who would like discipline children into either like doing their chores or like washing behind their ears or something like that by doing some like ass backwards magical remedy on them. Like, for example, the kid who wouldn't take a bath. She told the parents to like let the kid not take a bath, and then when he developed a nice layer of grime on himself, she told him to plant like these magic onions on his head, and he started spreading onions, and he was so traumatized that he started bathing regularly.
Oh boy.
I don't think these are for kids.
They're for kids. They were awesome.
Are you kidding me? Have you read Roald Dahl stuff?
That's true.
I mean, the most horrible things happen to the bad children in his stories.
That's true.
It's stretched out and turned made bright blue, and even the hero of the story almost gets sucked into a fan.
Yeah.
All right. For me, I mean, looking back at my childhood, my oldest brother read a lot of books. So, I mean, like, just like thinking back and looking at the library of books that he had, you know, the Tolkien books, he had the C.S. Lewis ones. And then he also had like a bunch of the Stephen King books. He had Asimov and all of the other ones. I kind of skipped over most of those. I read some Stephen King books like It and Stand By Me. And then for school, the ones that stick in my head are the ones that were kind of told about Asia, like Joy Luck Club, The Good Earth.
Pearl
S. Buck.
Pearl S. Buck.
Pearl S. Buck, yeah.
Actually, the Pearl is about like Mexican.
Oh, right? So, I thought you were following up with the Good Earth with Pearl. Anyway,
there's like John Steinbeck and Hemingway and those.
Yeah, Steinbeck wrote the Pearl, if I remember right.
The Old Man and the Sea is probably my favorite Hemingway book because it's by far the shortest.
It's also really
wow-sung.
And yeah, like I said, I don't like to read. And then outside of that, of just school, oh yeah, I forgot The Once and Future King. I actually like that book.
That is a great book.
It's a King Arthur book.
Oh.
If you remember The Sword in the Stone, that's based off of the first half of The Once and Future King.
I'm not a fan of The Sword in the Stone. I rewatched it within the last year, and I was like, this is really what it is?
Yeah, but I also had to read a bunch of the classics, like Wuthering Heights and all those.
I hate Wuthering Heights.
No wonder you don't like reading.
I didn't have to read that.
And
I had to read everything. I was an English major.
And then outside of that, I mean, like, I remember reading Sphere by Michael Crichton.
That was okay.
It was an interesting
book. I just hate Michael Crichton in general.
Jurassic Park. Airframe. Congo.
Congo.
Amy, want green drop drink.
And that's...
Oh, wait. I just realized Amy's here. Wait, is that the name of the gorilla?
I don't know.
I'm thinking of Coco, but that's a real one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about as far as my reading went. Like, outside of school, I just didn't read much at all.
Most of my reading was just the required reading from school, or Star Wars books, which you're not really reading.
I read everything.
Oh, I forgot about the Transformers. There are those, like...
They had a book series? Like,
pick your own adventure type.
And then
I would just always just like look at all the bad endings and just read those.
Yeah, right. And then trace them backwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megatron wins.
Okay. Well, have you guys ever read any detective series? Because I know there are a lot of those, like, you know, young adults.
Encyclopedia Brown is a detective series.
Yeah.
Not for young adults.
Yeah. Not for young adults.
No. I'm just saying.
Well, it depends.
My brother had a bunch of Sherlock Holmes books, but.
What about you, Ken?
I did not read that much as a kid.
There was a series I read called The Three Investigators, and it was like the one series that I think no one read. Everyone was reading Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew, but I read The Three Investigators.
I remember Three Investigators.
I loved Three Investigators. And it was like, I think the full title is Alfred Hitchcock and the Three Investigators.
Yeah. Whoa.
It was Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock.
But he didn't actually write anything for it. He was just a character in the book. And he was, like, the guy who, like, mentored these three kids and would, like, present them with these cases that they would have to solve. And at the end of every book, they would sit down with him and tell him about how they solved these cases.
What are you looking at us like that for?
I'm not. I was just thinking to myself, hey, I remember one time I checked out this one manga series called Kindaichi Case Files because someone told me it's the Encyclopedia Brown of manga.
It is.
Kind of like Spiral?
Yeah, Spiral is more like the Scooby-Doo.
Then what does Detective Conan count as? The Hardy Boys of manga?
I've never read Hardy Boys, did you?
Yeah.
Never.
I read the Hardy Boys. I didn't like them as much as Nancy Drew, though.
I've never read Nancy Drew either.
Never read Nancy Drew.
I do have one Nancy Drew book, though, but it's currently serving as an evener for one of the table legs in my room.
Yeah, the thing about Nancy Drew is that when you go back to it, you go, why does every chapter have to end on some sort of stupid cliffhanger? Especially since you're just gonna turn the page.
Because it's a gripping detective story!
Maybe they actually published each individual chapter in a magazine before they did a collective version?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
I always remember those books because they're spines. Yellow and blue.
Yeah. Kind of similar to the colors of our website.
Yellow and black. I don't think you can get away with having a black spine on a lot of children's books for some reason.
Yeah, I can't think of very many.
Now, speaking of great children's books, do you guys remember Babar?
Yes.
I didn't read it.
I remember Babar. I remember they used to have a cartoon for it.
Yes, they did.
I remember collecting, I think it was Carl's Jr. toys?
Carl's Jr.
Maybe not Carl's Jr. It was one fast food chain who had like little like toys and like stickers and stuff like that. I remember collecting those.
All right. So let's go into what people really wanted to talk about with this kind of topic. And, you know, I was trying to branch it out so we could talk about some other things as well. But Scholastic is known really for one franchise for the past, I don't know, what is it now, like 10? Okay, Harry Potter.
What?
Came out Lies. When I was in high school, and it was a big deal. So I think now what we're going to be talking about, it's been over 10 years now with Harry Potter in the Scholastic Publishing Company. And pretty much, I think most of their sales are just Harry Potter. I would say about, what, maybe 90%?
I wouldn't say 90%, but it's a really significant portion.
They publish a lot of books.
Yeah.
I know they do, but still, like, in terms of selling...
Sure.
I think that Harry Potter just sells like crazy mad, right?
Sure.
Well, it does, but you have to understand, like, there's only so many books that can be sold of any particular title. So, if they have, like, 100 titles, let's say, and Harry Potter is one of them, Harry Potter can't take up that much percentage. Cause then they're just printing money and throwing it away. With their the books.
Alright, so with the Harry Potter series, when was the first time you actually started reading any of the Harry Potter books?
I haven't read a single Harry Potter book.
Really?
Nope.
Wow, sophomore year of college. And that was actually after everyone in freshman year was reading it, and I was like, no, I don't want to jump on the bandwagon. I don't do that. And then I read the first volume sophomore year, and I was like, I must have more!
I've read pieces of it, and it's like, this doesn't go anywhere.
I may eventually read it, if I actually take up reading.
You and me, solidarity, son. You and me.
I read it in sophomore year after I saw Chamber of Secrets in the movie theater. I had to read Azkaban right away afterwards.
Actually, yeah, that's basically more or less what happened, too. I saw the movie, and then I read Volume 1, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I have to read the rest.
I was shown the movies recently on my trip to Singapore because my nieces are huge Harry Potter fans. And they're like, hey, you want to watch Harry Potter? Do I have a choice in the matter? Not really.
I'm surprised because, like, I've even read all the Harry Potter books. Not that I support that all of them are very good.
Yeah.
But, you know, for someone that rarely reads, I even read the seventh book within 2 days, which is pretty fast for me given how big it was. But I also read it 2 years after it was released.
Really?
Yeah, I had the book since opening, since its first day. And I didn't read it until 2 years later, and I was like, fine, I'll just do it. I didn't enjoy it.
The last book was the only time I actually ever waited in line for it. Like, what I actually did in the midnight release.
Did you read it right after you bought it?
Yes,
you went
I did.
Back and was it great?
No. It was great up until about the end, and then you were like, what the hell? No, actually, no, I take that back.
You don't enjoy the epilogue?
Actually, it wasn't
the dumb
great at
kids'
all.
Namings?
No. I started going...
What do they name their kids? I'm curious now.
Oh, I forgot. It was some. It's like, remember in the Star Wars universe how Han Solo and Leia, they named their kids Jason and Jaina, and one is named Anakin?
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of same stupid thing.
Yeah. Actually,
oh, it was
going...
Severus. One of their kids named Severus. Spoiler for those of you that haven't read Harry Potter. Who cares?
I'm spoiled now. Zomagods.
Right? I mean... I was like, okay, book 7's gonna be great. And then I started reading it, and then they started killing off random characters for no reason at all. And then I was like, WTF, this sucks.
Volumes 5 and 6 didn't give you any indication that J.K. Rowling was on the I'm slowly becoming insane train.
They were.
What do you mean slowly becoming insane?
Than 5.
It was not I'm slowly becoming more insane. It's just that my editors don't care anymore train. Because you can tell that, you know, a good editor will just cut out, will just say, this subplot sucks, and we're getting rid of it. And that's what happened for the first couple books, from what I'm told. And then I picked up pieces of the fourth and fifth books, and it's just like, this is complete diarrhea. Like, she just wrote whatever the hell she wanted, and they said, okay, it'll sell.
And it did.
And it's just like, what does this have to do with, whatever.
I thought book 7 would have had a chance because 6 was better than 5.
But you didn't think when book 6 had ended, they were like, now you have to go collect all these things. I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, it was
collecting
more just like,
things.
Wow, Harry's not as annoying anymore. Hooray! Because I really, really hated book 5. I was just like, wow, why are you so angsty? Like, I can commend her for writing it very true to life, I guess. But Oh my goodness, I don't want to read about it. I already had to live through it once.
Are you excited about the fact that she says she does want to write an eighth book?
No.
What will happen if she writes an eighth book?
It'll be diarrhea.
Because she's supposed to have, like, capped it off with the seventh book. And we already know she kind of didn't know where she was going. Okay, so Amy and I took a course in Berkeley.
No, we didn't. What are you talking about?
A decal course. And, you know, I'm not trying to slam Harry Potter fans or the people that taught the course or anything. But everyone was like, you know, in the first book, J.K. Rowling said that a lot of this will foreshadow what happens in the seventh book. No, that is crap. And anyone that thinks that there's some sort of analysis behind the whole Ron sacrifices himself thing, no, that never happened. Screw analysis of Harry Potter. It's just whatever the hell she wants to do. George Lucas effect. It's just a much faster effect with her.
Yes.
It was a fun class, though.
Yes.
Because we did nothing and we got a credit for it.
Yes, the class was fun, but took too much effort in which we had to reread Harry Potter. And that is really fun. I don't want to reread Volume 5 anymore.
I know.
For me, the way I think of the Harry Potter series is, like, I remember the big deal about it at first was, like, in the news, they were saying, like, yeah, it's making kids want to read again, which was a big deal.
It is.
I mean, and I totally understand that. I remember in middle school, it's just like, you know, like when they had to do book reports and they said, you know, pick whatever book you want, except for Stephen King. It's like, no more Stephen King. I get it all the time. I'm sure these days they're going, no Harry Potter, no Harry Potter.
Can you imagine that first few years when Harry Potter was popular, when all the kids would be like, I did a book report on Harry Potter. I did one on Harry Potter. And the teacher's just like, I want to put a gun in my mouth.
Oh, man.
So what's the big next franchise for kids reading? Or is this is pretty much it, right? Everyone sort of jumped on the whole, hey, let's do kids books, you know, and there's a series. Like the Dragon one, or Lemony Snicket, or
there's a pretty strong undercurrent too. of reimagined fantasy going around right now. Like a lot of stuff,
reimagined everything. Yeah, going
but
on right now.
Reimagined fairy tales is really popular right now. Like the feminist Frog Prince and things like that.
Hmm. You mean like Pride and Prejudice and zombies?
Not quite.
All right,
but you know, there's like it's sort of in the style of Howl's Moving Castle if you've read that book. Where, you know, it's like, it's very fairy tale style, except for the woman is empowered this time. You know, that kind of thing.
I see.
And so there's a lot of that going around from what I've seen.
There's a series that I've seen in bookstores. It's probably more for kids than it is for, like, young adult reading. But it's called Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, yes. I have those on my wish list. I'm just waiting for them to become cheaper.
I, like, flip through them, and they look very... They're very, like, whimsical and very cute, and I'd probably read them, but, I mean, there's not a lot of content.
Aren't they comics?
Kind of. It's, like, comics in line with text.
There's reading?
A little bit.
No, like, I'm not as interested
anymore.
The font
is, like, 18-point font.
Oh, yay.
Which is why I say it's more of a kid's book than young adult or...
Actually, that reminds me of, a kid's book I really liked. There's like two of them I remember, and I don't even remember. It's like something about an attic, something or other.
Flowers
like
in the attic?
Oh boy.
That's Flowers in the attic. No, that's
such a heartwarming story about incest and like torture. Yeah.
No, it had like simple drawings and the, like,
oh the Shel Silverstein stuff. Yeah. The Giving Tree in the Attic. The Light in the Attic.
Oh,
where
the
sidewalk ends.
Yeah,
where
the sidewalk ends.
Those
are great.
Yeah.
They are great.
Those two I loved. I
there was one more book, right?
Read and reread them all the time.
I think there was, but I don't remember.
Where the sidewalk
in the attic
also ends.
No, it's...
Giving Tree 2.
Give more.
I'll just say that I saw
give
the
more with a vengeance.
For Where the Wild Things Are, and that just looks freaky.
Oh, the new movie?
Yeah.
I'm so excited about it because
it looks scary,
so
because it's
weird.
Oh, shoot.
All of a
sudden, I forgot my name. Forgot the name, the director all of a sudden, for being John Malkovich.
John Malkovich?
Spike Jones.
Is it Spike Jones?
Yes, he's doing the film. And also, I was really excited because the trailer music is Arcade Fire.
Right.
But I don't know. I think it looks great, except when I look back on that book, that's not a very good book.
Nope.
It's like, Max is angry. Now he goes to Where the Wild Things Are. They play. That's the end.
Oh, okay. That other Shel Silverstein book is called Runny Babbitt.
I don't remember that one at all. Yeah.
It's called Runny Babbitt, a Billy Sook. So basically, I flipped through it before, and he just writes, you know, these cute little poems, and he just switches the first letter of, like, two words, like, basically 18 times in one sentence. And you're trying to figure out what the heck he's saying. It's not very good.
Mm. So it's the Radioland Murders of the George Lucas film franchise.
Radioland Murders? I don't even know what that is.
Check it out sometime.
Is it even more embarrassing than Howard the Duck?
No.
No, I kind of liked Howard the Duck when I was a kid. I think it was just because it was about a large furry duck.
My oldest brother's name is
Fuzzy.
Howard.
Sorry.
So when I'm
you were a furry when you were a kid.
well, Howard the Duck costume was furry. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But as I'm saying, my brother's name is Howard. So since then, his nickname has been attributed to ducks.
All right. So one final thing. What are your thoughts?
Wait a second. Your brother's name is Howard, and your song. How did that happen? Why did you get the ethnic name?
Well, also my other brother has a Korean name as well.
Okay.
But it's because they were in New York at the time, and they saw a lot of, like, Howard's this and Howard's that. So
like Howard's End?
Yes, it was the one American name they knew, so they just picked that.
And then after
he also has a Korean name, but
yeah. My parents say that they named me after Carter's daughter.
Jimmy Carter's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know how I got my name. What about you, Dominic?
I was named after a saint.
Oh.
And now look at you.
I know, right?
Your hands are so red.
No, they're fine now.
Your hands are sullied.
They'll be so red. Actually, one other thing I want to talk about is the thoughts on the Harry Potter film franchise. Then we're going to go into our favorite book from our childhood. So the Harry Potter film franchise, huge, huge moneymakers. Really, what do you think about it? Does it really surprise you that they've made so much money, or do you think it's overrated? Have you ever been actually wowed by any of the films?
I'm not surprised that it's, you know, making so much money, since I know that for a fact that the books are just incredibly popular. But I've watched them and went, meh. Yeah, that was pretty much.
I think maybe, like, for someone who hasn't read the books and seen the movies, they're not impressed. There's a fandom associated with it, right? Yep. Where if you've read the books and you go watch the movie, you're already biased. Which is kind of how I feel. It's like, if I were to have watched those movies without having read the books, I probably wouldn't be all that impressed either. But since I have, I'm just like, ooh, Harry Potter movie! Yes, I'll stand in line for midnight showing. Which I didn't do this time around.
And being one of those people who has seen the movies but not read the books, I guess I'm not overly impressed by the movies. But they are good fantasies. And it's just, like, you don't get the... Well, from what I assume, you don't get quite the same
crap
development of like and explanations that you can take the time to in the book.
Right, and if you read it, you already know, right? And so it's just like watching the movie is really
the Cliff's Notes version.
Yeah,
it's
without the random subplots.
Yeah.
Well, I've read the books and watched the movies.
You're not impressed?
I've never really liked one until Order of the Phoenix. Which is, I think, because I hated the book so much that I figured, oh, the movie's got to be terrible. But then they actually cut out a lot of the Harry Potter angst and put in a lot more of the fighting,
which
I thought did help the film a lot more. It also does help that the style of the fifth film is definitely much darker. It was a PG-13 film. They also added this, like, blue tint everywhere, which I guess with Half-Blood Prince, they added a green tint everywhere. Ooh. Whereas with, like, the third film, Azkaban, they just took away tint. They took away color. I was supposed to be really excited about 3. I was excited about 3 because it was Alfonso Cuarón who eventually went on to do Children of Men. And it was also my favorite book. And as a film, it does not work as well as the book, in my opinion. Especially the last portion involving the time element of the story. And
yeah,
I just felt it was so much better in the book.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never really been that much of a fan of the film franchise. Only recently
better.
I think they're getting better because I think they're becoming more serious about it.
Exactly.
Because I remember the very first Chris Columbus one, and, you know, don't get me wrong, I still enjoy that one, but so, like, when I look at it now, it's kind of nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, the books are kind of like that too, right? In the beginning, they weren't all that much either, and then they started getting all heavy, dark, and, you know, gritty towards the end.
I don't know, I think I'm kind of the opposite in that I like the earlier films a little bit more.
And I thought they were entertaining.
It has that kind of whimsical child, like, new world-ish type thing.
Yeah, like, I'm a wizard, I know magic.
And then the later ones, I don't feel it connecting, like, all these things that are happening, like, I don't just, like, if they keep on adding new things, new aspects to the story, and that I don't really see how they fit in.
Yeah,
from
they don't
the
really explain
stuff.
It, right? They're probably just trying to cram too much stuff in. But yeah, I mean, that's where reading the book would help, I guess.
Yeah, like the whole the followers of
Death Eaters.
No, yeah, not the Death Eaters. The Death Eaters are the ghost things, right?
No, those are
Patronus.
No,
that's a spell, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they have the kiss. What's it called? The something kiss.
The Reaper guys.
Yeah, those are Death Eaters. No,
they're not Death Eaters.
Sorry.
Whatever.
From Lord of the Rings, but they fly.
So fine. I was thinking of the Death Eaters.
Dementor.
Dementor. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so like the whole Death Eater idea is like okay, you know that. I guess that makes sense. Like, the way they introduced them was fine in the whichever movie that was.
Are we talking about Dementors or Death Eaters?
Death Eaters.
The people are the Death Eaters. Dementors are the flying things. Okay.
And then, you know, in the latest film that's been released. I'm not talking about the one before. I'm not talking about the one that's just released. I'm talking about
Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix. Yeah. Or in Order of the Phoenix, then suddenly there's a whole bunch of Death Eaters. And there's people who are Death Eaters that have already been in the movies before, and like, but they weren't Death Eaters before.
They were hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have known that unless you had read the book.
Yeah.
That's the problem. But yeah, no, I'm not surprised that it's making money, though.
Yeah, each one makes a lot more money than we last expected.
Yep.
I kind of expected this Harry Potter discussion to go a little bit further, but there's not really much that we really feel about with Harry Potter. It's not really something we grew up that much with. It's a popular franchise.
I'm sure my niece would be able to talk to you guys for about 2 to 3 hours about Harry Potter.
Yeah, for me, it's just another franchise. I guess if I had read the Tolkien stuff or the C.S. Lewis stuff, I could talk endlessly about that, but since I didn't, I can't.
Spoiler, the line is Jesus saves you.
All right, so let's wrap this up with everyone. I'd ask you to pick out your favorite childhood book. So what are they?
My favorite childhood book series is The Prydain Chronicles by Lloyd Alexander. You may remember that Disney tried to make a movie out of The Black Cauldron, I think. Was it Disney? I think
so. Yes, they did, times when...
They weren't making very good
movies. When Disneyland had the Goblin Munching Crunch or whatever attraction.
My fear level is too late for my fear level to rise.
It's not something in my... it's not something that I remember. It's something that Andy was telling us about before.
Oh, that's right. But anyway, yeah, it's a very solid fantasy, very, like, British Isles inspired, and I really liked it. You know, just a really strong adventure series that I tried getting for my niece, and I hope she reads it.
All right. Well, for me, it's The Phantom Tollbooth. Have you guys read it? Any of you?
I don't remember it.
Really?
I probably read it, but I don't remember it.
I found it very clever and very witty, but it was still accessible as, I guess, a kid's book. So it's about a kid who is always bored with his life. He's like a second grader or something, right? But he's bored with his life, and he comes home one day, and there's like a magical tollbooth that he sets up, and he goes into this fantasy world where he meets a dog named Tok, and he's a watchdog, but he's literally a dog with a giant watch on his, like, as his torso, but he goes tick, 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 but his name is Tok because his parents named him before he was born, and then they have adventures in this land. It's a cute book. You should read it. It's very clever.
Explaining a children's book to adults,
I know,
is really difficult.
Yeah. Well, you see, there's this boy, and he finds this giant peach, and it flies.
Is his name James?
Tiberius Kirk, yes.
Yes. Let's name him after your father.
No, let's name him after Tiberius. No, let's name him after your father.
What about you, Sung? You must have some sort of favorite childhood book.
Yeah, I'm trying
My
to
My favorite
think.
Was the television.
I mean, I, 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 probably the one that sticks out from my childhood the most is the one I mentioned before, which is Light in the Attic. Not the one about incest.
Flowers in the Attic.
And the where the sidewalk ends, whatever.
Can I just say that I also love B.C. Andrews?
And
you're allowed. We don't judge.
I remember reading Edgar Allan Poe a lot.
Wow, you read Edgar Allan Poe as a kid. Yeah.
Well, that's because, like I said, my older brother, so there's all these, you know, more mature books around. And, like that and, like, the Stephen King short stories, because they were short. Same with Edgar Allan Poe, they were short.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I remember, like, reading the original actual story for The Lawnmower Man and stuff like that.
Wow, Lawnmower Man. Reaching back.
It doesn't have much to do with virtual reality as we think it does.
Yeah.
Wasn't Peter Brosnan in that?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my favorite childhood book, which I'm kind of surprised, I didn't think people would mention it earlier, is Hatchet. It's one of the few ones I've actually read multiple times.
I still don't know what a choke cherry is.
Yeah, I don't know. I still just remember.
That sounds dirty.
The scene
sounds like snuff porn. Really does.
The part where he goes and finds the plane, and then he's looking for the supplies, and he still finds the rotting pilot.
Oh yeah.
In the plane, I was like, "Holy crap!
I gotta read this again." Fish.
Yeah. I like that a lot. It's probably also the reason why I like the film Castaway a lot more than I probably should. As well as I enjoy
Dead Pilot.
As well as, yes, there's also Dead Pilot in that too. All the best survival films have Dead Pilots.
I remember that it's a really weird habit of mine, but whenever characters hold their breath in movies or in books, I do it
too.
Myself.
I remember that scene in Hatchet where
he does the dive down to the plane.
Oh yeah.
And I remember holding my breath through all of that and kind of hurt.
What happens if the character drowns? All right, I really enjoyed Hatchet. Actually, when I was looking through the list of Scholastic books, I was like, oh, Hatchet. Yeah, I want to read that again, too. I really like that.
When did you read it?
When I was in, like, fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah,
I think everyone read it around those
but
times.
But then and then I got to do a book report on it in sixth grade.
Did you talk about the rotting pilot a lot?
No.
And his eye is floating out in the socket.
Yeah, I did my book report on Hatchet in 8th grade, I think. Or 7th.
Alright, Hatchet, the classic. Yep. Amy's justifying
this
the Phantom.
This is the dog talk.
Yeah.
You can totally see it on radio.
Why is the watchdog kissing the old man?
They're not kissing!
It's not an
noses.
Old man, is it?
It's a kid. His name is Milo.
That's a kid?
The illustrations are not very advanced.
It's his name Benjamin Button.
Alright, so that pretty much wraps up the Scholastic episode. We're sorry if we didn't get into Harry Potter too much. I know there's a lot of you guys out there that really wanted to hear us talk about more about Harry Potter, but I kind of figured we wouldn't talk about it that much, so we kind of branched out into Scholastic. Anyways, you can always tell us what we did wrong, what we said wrong, what we should have said. Oh man, I'm
gonna
be regretting this now. At feedback.
Edit this out, Kevin.
Feedback at s-words-podcast.com. Also check out our website where you can comment on all episodes and download old episodes at www.s-words-podcast.com. And there's only one place that can turn Dom's hands red. And where is that?
The Elephant and Castle, apparently.
But if it was online, where would it be?
One of those websites that teaches you how to mix drinks.
Twitter.com/us_words. There we go.
We talk about alcohol all the time.
That's what we're looking for. All right. So you guys have any shout-outs or suggestions? No. You guys have any shout-outs or quotes that you'd like to end off this show with? I'm pretty sure it's going to go to shout-outs.
I'd like to give a shout-out to all the kids who are reading things that are not Harry Potter right now. Rock on. Read Hatchet. Read the Prydain Chronicles.
Read V.C. Andrews.
Don't read V.C. Andrews. That'll make you grow up weird.
I am the living proof of that.
Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Anyway, that's my shout-out. Keep on reading, folks.
All right, my shout out goes to V.C. Andrews.
All right, incest
what's her
is
name?
Best.
Jean Owl. The one who did the Clan of the Cave Bear series.
Mm.
Which is at points like V.C. Andrews, but also more adventure. And less incest.
Not really a shout out, more of a correction. Like, I've been sitting here trying to think, because, like, I said, when I was talking about Lawnmower Man, I said Peter Brosnan. I meant Pierce Brosnan.
Shout out to Pierce Brosnan in the Lawnmower Man.
No, he was a guy who had the VR equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my shout out.
All right. My shout out is to Sophie Kinsella, the writer of the Shopaholic series, which is, I found out, is considered part of this like genre called chick lit.
Really?
Yes. Chick literature. Basically it's, yeah, for women, but not like trashy romance novels. So I just read the third in the series, Kevin. For that.
Perfect
now.
Book for your budding body.
I really liked it. It was very good. I liked the series a lot. Don't judge me.
Hey, I read The Babysitter's Club as a kid, so I can't judge you.
I already told my friends while I was at Otakon that I like Sex and the City, and I got a lot of crap for that.
You like Sex and the City?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Wow.
I watched it again with Lita, and then I was bugging her to finish watching
it. So you do realize...
So we can go see the movie, because I was really wanting to see the movie, too.
So, Kevin, you do realize that I have to revoke your penis now, right?
Kevin, this is my eyebrow. One eyebrow up. What the heck, Kevin?
Dude, Sex and the City's really good.
The eyebrow is still up.
I'm still revoking your penis.
The eyebrow is up and the penis is down.
The penis is inverted.
Why are you referencing a penis?
It's your penis that we have revoked.
Wonderful. So the penis is on the table right now.
Good night, everybody.
It's been revoked and that now hides in the space that the stick in your ass used to be in.
One day I woke up. And I couldn't find Kevin's penis.
This episode became really lively all of a sudden.
Did you check the medicine cabinets? Did you call your friends' houses?
Are you sure it wasn't just there, but you couldn't see it?
I checked in the medicine cabinet, and it wasn't there.
I tend to leave it there.
I'm just thinking of the Weird Al Yankovic song Headline News now.
Which one's that?
It's the Crash... No, yeah, it's Crash Test Dummies. Mm. Song.
Oh.
In that he sings about the Lorena, the whole...
Lorena Bobbitt,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, Lorena Bobbitt story.
And he goes, like, he got off his wiener.
No, it's like, and then one day he woke up and he found, like, his little happy was missing. Or I gone missing, or something like that. I don't remember the lyrics anymore.
Kevin, tonight, say goodbye to your little happy.
What the hell is going on?
Good night, everybody.
Did you know there's a song called Detachable Penis? I just found out.
Yeah, good job, Amy.
Hey,
right on the cutting edge of music you are.
I am. Yeah, I know more about music than you.
Yeah, I never even heard of it.
Oh!
While this is true, I still get to make fun of you for not knowing about Detachable Penis.
Smackdown.
Also, listen to Lords of Acid. They have interesting music.
Like, what is it? Spank My Booty and Little Boys. I must increase my bust. Yeah.
All right, so... Signing off from the Harry Potter episode, yep.
Harry held his wang tightly.
And a white substance shot forth.
You know what it is? Did he shout
Ejaculus? It was a mighty stab.
Ejaculus!
You heard about that stage play he did where he's nude.
Yeah, with the horse. Yeah.
Equus.
Yeah. Equus, yeah.
It's classic.
Classic nude
was he
horses.
Hung like one?
You know there's a show called Hung now?
Yes,
on I heard HBO? About that. What's it about?
It's about a
high school teacher that becomes a male prostitute.
Can we stop talking now?
I'm still recording.
I think we fouled up the
good night, everyone.
Plastic episode now.
All that boring talk was worth it for this.
Good night.
I'm a bear.
I'm Wolverine.
And we make love together.
Even with the claws out?
Especially with the claws out.
Is this why Wolverine and Deadpool have sex so often with each other? Because they can both.
It's Wolverine and Sabretooth.
Can you imagine if Wolverine had adamantium claws out of his wiener?
Yes, I can.
How does he learn to deal with the pain?
It hurts. Does it hurt every time? Every time.
No, it doesn't hurt when it comes out.
That's right. Every time.
I think when they come out, whatever.
I love how that movie was sponsored by Dr. Pepper and Baskin-Robbins.
Man of adamantium, woman of Kleenex.
Did I ever tell you about this thing about how if Superman had sex, because, you know, he's super at everything, if he ejaculated, wouldn't it be like a bullet?
It would blow like, through.
Maybe like
isn't this a scene from Mallrats? Well,
isn't this an essay from the 60s? Yes.
I'm sorry, whoever's still listening.
Man of Steel, woman of Kleenex.
Please don't sue us.
Man of Steel, woman of Kleenex. Ejaculus.
This episode has been rated PG-13.
Yeah, what happened?
For suggestive themes.
Wait a second. If Harry Potter cast the spell Ejaculus.
Okay, this episode's over.